Welcome to my Saturday podcast. Before we get to the always opinionated Danny Cannell, no matter what you do in the bathroom to get ready, Dollar Shave Club, a company I've been using now for over 5 years, has everything you need to look, to smell, to feel your best. They got hairstyling products. They have toothbrushes and toothpaste now. Obviously, razors I've been using, and their shave butter, I've been using that stuff for years. They have the Boogie's Pacific Pomade. I use that to get my hair looking good. And right now, for $5, Dollar Shave Club has a starter set. It's the Daily Essential starter set. And they got body cleanser, the Amber Lavender Body Cleanser. And you go over there for $5, and you get it shipped at the regular price. They got a new video. Check it out. When this company started, they kind of started with a video. DollarShaveClub.com/Colin. DollarShaveClub.com/Colin. Check out their video on YouTube. And right now, everything in the bathroom, they've got it. Dollar Shave Club. He just got newly announced, newly named as the CBS Sports College Football Studio Analyst. I love that. He's a co-host on Sirius XM Mad Dog Radio, 1 to 3 Eastern daily. I love him. I've worked with him. Danny Cannell, former Florida State quarterback, NFL quarterback, joining us. First thoughts, I always sort of thought Coach K was the big dog in basketball. Then about 5-6 years ago, Calipari comes in, and he challenges him. But it feels like, once again, Coach K is a little more refined, has pulled away. I always thought Nick was the big dog, and Urban Meyer goes to Ohio State, and I'm like, oh, he's catching up to him, oh, he's catching up to him. This last couple of weeks with Urban Meyer, it feels like Saban has extended the gap. I don't even see Urban Meyer the same way, Danny, between Florida and Ohio State. I don't know. Maybe I'm being hyperbolic here, but this thing for Urban Meyer combined with the Florida mess, I see him differently. Do you?
I do. There's no doubt about it that Urban Meyer's legacy has been tarnished, but I will give that a quick aside. We can forget things really fast if he wins another national championship, right? Like, it can be turned around. People will forget things. But I think overall, like, people still talk about the mess that he had at Florida.
Yeah.
Like, people still talk about the arrest record, the amount of players that he had on there. So it'll always be something where you look at some coaches and say, hey, they did it the right way. Everybody's going to have that opinion on Urban Meyer. Hey, well, how really was he doing it? Was he one of those guys that put football above anything else? And every indication that you've seen from his career is the answer to that question is yes. Football has been bottom line, most important thing. Sometimes that's okay. Like, I can be, you know, some fans can live with that, others can't. But there's definitely a tarnish on Urban Meyer's name after all this mess.
Well, Zach Smith is the first coach he's ever fired in his career. Bowling Green, Utah, Florida, Ohio State. The knock I heard on Urban 10 years ago is that it's not all coaches give good guys a second chance. But Urban has given bad guys a third chance. And I think it hurt him at Florida, and I think it hurt him at Ohio State. My takeaway on this whole mess was, why did you give a marginal wide receiver coach multiple chances? That to me is the thing that sticks out. If he was like Chip Kelly as an offensive coordinator, part of me says, okay, I get being seduced by great. But boy, being seduced and loyal to mediocre, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, you don't have to look much further than his own coaching staff either, Colin, to look at some of the second chances he's given to Greg Schiano, to Kevin Wilson, who was run out of Indiana. Like, those are ones that you can kind of live with. And I am totally with you. When you look at it, the most perplexing thing is that this is a marginal coach. And like the wide receivers coach, they're oftentimes, and a lot of staffs, they're kind of at the bottom, you know, of the totem pole. Like, they're not that important, like, as far as input on the game plans and those sorts of things. I think a lot of it has to do with the Earl Bruce connection. Like, it really does. And you coaches are loyal to a fault, and this might be one of the most surprising acts of loyalty that you've seen. And maybe you could, maybe we're describing it the wrong way. But it's just an act of stupidity for Urban Meyer to be completely blind to what was really going on and to just make a logical choice and get rid of this guy much earlier than he did. And it's why we're sitting here talking about his legacy, because he was loyal to a fault.
You know, somebody called Nick Saban a cheater, an anonymous football coach. And, you know, it's easy to win when you have all the great players. Listen, Ole Miss got tagged. We've seen Oklahoma, USC get tagged, Auburn. generally if you cheat, you get caught. Or am I being naive that, you know, Alabama's going west and getting players and going to Texas getting guys? You know, is there this kind of unspoken thing that it's not all in the up and up? I think if Nick was cheating, we'd hear about it.
I think we're all naive to the fact of what's going on in college football. I think there's a, you know, a seedy underbelly of bag men and cash payments. But here's the thing. I don't think the coaches even know about it. And I think they can try to police it as best they can, and they just can't do anything about it. Like, you can't control what crazy boosters are willing to do and the length they'll go to get the latest 4- and 5-star guy. So you are right. If Nick Saban was aware of it, had any kind of hand in it, he would have been busted by now, especially when you have the success that he has. Like, when you're the successful team, the successful coach, people want to find something to bring you down. And are you like the Auburn faithful? They would do anything they could to try to get down Nick Saban. If they had any hint of impropriety, they would have been reporting it. They would have had somewhere out there. So I think there is. I think we just found out with college basketball the magnitude of that was going on, and that was more corporate. It was a little bit more surprising because of the companies that were involved. But I think we'd all be surprised if everything was just uncovered and you started saying, oh my gosh, that's how much cash it took to get that kid to sign with this school over that one. But that being said, I don't think it's the coaches, and I don't think there's a lot they can actually do about it because of the way it's operating. It's just so much behind the scenes in the dark that they can't do anything about it. But the whole comment of the, you know, Nick Saban being overrated or any of that, it's laughable when you look at what he's done. And if you wanted to have a conversation with me about, all right, well, who's the best X's and O's coach and the game day guy or developer of talent? Then maybe you go, all right, David Shaw, Pat Fitzgerald at Northwestern, David Cutcliffe at Duke, because their hands are tied. They have less talent that they have to maximize. But Nick Saban is the best recruiter in the country, and that's what college football is, a talent acquisition business. So he gets the best talent, but the thing that makes him truly special, that makes him one of the greatest of all time, is he actually develops that talent and gets the most out of him. It's remarkable when you look at the run that he's had. And I've always been one to defend Bobby Bowden. You know, we had a 14-year run, never finished outside the top five. And I'm starting to get nervous that that run is in jeopardy the way Nick Saban keeps rolling this program.
I only think there's one truly overrated coach in college football, and you're going to hate me, but I think it's Jimbo Fisher. You don't leave Florida State. You leave Florida State when you feel like they're going to run you out. And I think Jimbo Fisher's overrated. I think there's a lot of underrated guys. I think Paul Chris at Wisconsin's underrated. I think that's staff. I mean, Wisconsin is a state that has no football players in high school to give you. So here's something. I love college football. But when sports become regional, guys like me don't talk about them. They can still be big in a city or a region. You can talk about it in Atlanta. But baseball's become too regional. The reason I don't talk baseball is outside the Yankees, nobody in Boston watches the Padres, and nobody in Houston watches, you know, just the team, but Philadelphia. Is that Bama Clemson, again, favored to make the national championship. I have felt in the last 5 or 6 years that, and I don't think Clemson and Bama have coaches who are going anywhere. Is it possible Bama Clemson are now bad for college football?
Yeah, I've thought about that a lot, Colin, because, you know, we've had the same question when it was the Cavs Warriors with the NBA. It was like, oh, but you are right. The NBA, they have nationally known superstars.
Yes,
LeBron,
yes,
is going to be there. And with college football, just by the sheer fact of turnover, you're not going to see the same players. You're going to see the same coaches. And I did not love the fact that it was Georgia versus Bama. And, it wasn't anything to do with the hatred for the SEC or anything. It was just, I thought it was bad for college football. I think you did need to pull in from other parts of the country. But you know what? Those ratings were still off the chart. I think college football is in a really good place right now. I think it's because the NFL has taken such a PR hit. Like, it really has. Some of it's their own doing. Like, with the NFL owners, the anthem stuff, you have the Mexican violence issues, you have all these things going on that have hurt the NFL. I'm worried because you're starting to see more of that with what's happened at Ohio State, with Urban Meyer, with what happened to Maryland, and what you're talking about with Bama Clemson. Even more importantly, I think fans will get tired of seeing the same teams. And here's the scary part. If you can tell me more than 7 or 8 teams every single year in college football that can legitimately win the title, you know, I'll give you $100. You just can't find them.
Yeah.
There's only 7 or 8 teams that have enough talent. It's, again, it's a talent acquisition business. There just aren't enough teams that can pair with Clemson and Bama. You're going to see Ohio State. You're going to see Oklahoma. You're going to see USC, you know, Michigan and Florida State. And then once you get outside of that, it's like there aren't any teams that can contend there. So I think college football does need to be careful. That was one of the reasons it bothered me so bad, why Bama got the free pass. You know, they didn't win their division. They didn't win the SEC because I thought they should. Like, I think that's when you lose college football fans, when they're saying, oh, everybody just wants to see Bama again. Let's just put them in. I don't think there's any crooked thing, and then, you know, there's nothing nefarious going on. I just think it's a flaw in the system. If anything, I think we should be making it harder on Bama because they have all this talent. Instead, we made it easier, and you had an opportunity to kind of spread the wealth and give somebody else an opportunity, and you didn't. And I think that was a missed opportunity for college football.
Yeah, I mean, I will say this right now. The Big Ten, Ohio State is really good this year. Penn State is really good this year. Wisconsin's offensive line is probably the best in the sport. They may have the best running back in college football. Washington's coming back. So there are northern teams. And I think the Big Ten right now, it doesn't have the SEC's players, but I think the coaching at the Big Ten, they've started spending money on assistants and recruiters. And so I do think we are getting the Big Ten reemerging, which I love. I'll get back to Danny Cannell in one moment. As you know, I have been up in my style game this summer. I gave my closet a makeover thanks to Peter Millar. Love this stuff. Quality, value, and style. It is the most comfortable clothing I've ever worn. I started wearing it about 3 months ago in the summer. I took a boatload of it to Utah, where I went for a couple of weeks. Polo shirts, so easy to take care of. You take them right out of the dryer. You don't even have to put an iron on them. I can wear it hitting golf balls. I wear it out to dinner. I wear it around the house. Peter Millar sports shirts look like button-down dress shirts, but they feel as comfortable as a T-shirt. They have these five-pocket pants, lightweight, really breathable, highest quality Pima cotton. And they just, the comfort and the ease of motion, to me, is really the difference. I wear their Peter Millar performance shorts, moisture wicking, breathable, quick drying, all this stuff. Don't need irons. Don't need an iron. Peter Millar is the most comfortable clothing I've ever worn. Go right now to petermillar.com/herd and pick out their favorites. Use my link. You'll get a complimentary hat and free shipping. That's Peter Millar, MILLAR.com/herd. Peter Millar. .com/herd. Free shipping, free hat. Go there now. Let me ask you about USC. So you can tell when a team is really good when they play poorly and win. USC, since Pete Carroll left, has had utter dysfunction, and they're still winning 9 and 10 games a year. I mean, if let's be honest, if Purdue was having dysfunction, they'd be 1-11.
Yep.
You know, when Florida has dysfunction, they go, you know, 5-7 or whatever. USC's been largely dysfunctional for about 8 years, and they still won the Pac-10 championship last year. But they were rolled by Ohio State, rolled by Notre Dame. Last couple of years, rolled by Alabama. If Clay Helton gets rolled by Texas, even if he beats Stanford and UNLV, if he gets rolled by Texas, which is seen as a national program, he doesn't have much of a – he's not a big pop guy. The staff is kind of average, many believe. If they get rolled on TV by Texas, do you think by game 3, Lynn Swann is thinking, I'm over this. We can't compete with Ohio State, Notre Dame, Alabama, Texas in 2 years got the right coach and blows us out. What is your take on Clay Helton and the future going forward?
All right, there's a huge game that you left out before Texas that I need to know how they did, because they go on the road to Stanford in week 2. Like, if they win that game and they lose to Texas, I think he'll be fine. Because, you know, you're kind of in a good spot. I think if you look at Clay Helton, I think you're onto something because of what you said about does he have that pop that USC fans and LA and all that Southern California brings with it. He doesn't have that. And that's unfair, but it's kind of a fact of the matter. When you look at every coaching search they've ever had, you know, listen to Keyshawn Johnson or anybody else that goes out there and talks about USC football, they're saying, we're different. We're Hollywood. We need that splashy figure. He is definitely not that. But if you looked at the numbers, Colin, like, he's the first coach in USC history to have 10 games in his first 2 years. Like, it's first time in the history of the school. So 10-game winning seasons, those first two. He's got 9 top 25 wins in the last couple of years, 3 of those against top 5 teams. Like, he has signature wins. I was looking for that. He's got the Pac-12 championship. But, there is a but, it is a program that falls right in line with Ohio State,
yep,
with Bama, with Florida, with Florida State. Their expectations are every few years. And I think USC fans are pretty reasonable. I think they've had seen some of the ups and the downs.
Yeah.
They feel every few years we should contend for a national championship, and that's what he's missing. And if he doesn't get that soon, and whether that's the Texas game, if he gets blown out there, look, if they lose to Stanford and Texas back to back, and they're 1-2,
yes,
those crowds are going to be really loud. But they've got to. Clay Helton does have to elevate USC on the national scale to where they're contending for a national championship. And whether that's just getting into the playoffs, like just get to the playoffs, and I think that'd be enough. But if they fall short of that in Washington, it also hurts that Washington is the flag bearer for the Pac-12, because I'm sure USC fans look at their program and say, they are not the same caliber as we are. We need to be better than them without question.
Yes.
And if you're not, then it starts putting heat on Clay Helton.
Danny Cannell, CBS Sports College Football Studio Analyst. He's on Sirius XM, the Mad Dog Sports Radio Channel, 1 to 3 Eastern on a daily basis. Co-host of Off the Bench podcast with Raja Bell. Finally, Jim Harbaugh. I argue that he is a bad spot in year 2 against Ohio State from going into his fourth year with already a playoff berth and a 10-win season, and that would have been, if they got that marking against Ohio State, an 11-win season. I think he's on track. This is, once again, their defense is really good, but he has an NFL-level quarterback, I believe. But a lot of people are like, a lot of noise, not good enough, only, you know, like 12th to 14th in this poll. Where do you fall on Harbaugh on his Michigan high, you know, run?
All right, so here's the way I look at Jim Harbaugh, Colin. So the first year he's hired, I think everybody in college football loved the hire. Michigan man, returning to his roots, great for college football. The second year, I thought the rest of the college football landscape was kind of over him a little bit. You know, SEC fans are saying, hey, wait a second. This guy's coming in our backyard. He's stealing recruits. You know, other coaches are like, hey, wait a second. He's throwing a lot of us under the bus. The third year, I thought even Michigan fans, to some extent, were kind of over Jim Harbaugh, the hype, and they want to start seeing results. And I think that's a fair assessment, because I think they do want to say, hey, he's worth his salary. He talks a big game. Now it's time to back it up. And I'm with you. I think he's close. They're heading in the right direction. But much like we talk about with Clay Helton and USC, Michigan's fans expect to win, and they expect to beat Ohio State. They expect to beat Michigan State. And if you don't, there are going to be some rumbling. That week one game against Notre Dame is going to be so big for Michigan and for Notre Dame, who I think people are sleeping on. But for Jim Harbaugh and that Michigan team, they need to come out and kind of set the tone for the season, because they do have the talent to compete. They do have an incredible defense. But I'm looking at Jim Harbaugh, and I say, where he's supposed to be the quarterback guru. When is he going to develop a quarterback that has a top 10, top 15 offense in the country where they can actually perform? Finally, you feel like it's there with Shea Patterson, but he's got to actually do it on the field until everybody falls in line with Jim Harbaugh and says, all right, it's worth it. Let's all move forward. He's the right guy.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I think that criticism's a fair one. And even Shea Patterson, he hadn't played much. But I do think he's the most talented thrower of the football he's had. And generally,
well, that's because look how bad this is. He's got a list of transfer quarterbacks.
Yes.
You know, John O'Korn, Jake Rudock. You know, Wilton Spate was his homegrown guy, and he was just, you know, like, it's not been pretty at the quarterback position. So he's running out of excuses. He's got to develop one of them. And I do think Shea Patterson is athletic. I do think he has that ability. He played great as a freshman at Ole Miss, but then had a little bit of a regression. And I don't know if he knows pressure like he's going to see there at Michigan. It's a completely different ball game, and you never know how a guy's going to react when he's put under that kind of spotlight.
Danny, congrats on the new gig on CBS. It's great talking to you, my friend.
You're the best, Colin. Thanks for having me on.